to A Wee Blether About, a podcast from the Academic Skills team at UWS. My name is Linda Riches and I'm one of the Academic Skills Advisors at the University. So today I'm joined by Carly. Hi, Carly.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Linda.
And of course, John. Hi, John.
Hi, Linda.
So we were having a wee look back through our podcast and we were thinking that although we've mentioned paraphrasing in podcasts, it's not something we specifically talked about in a full podcast. So we thought it was maybe time we devoted a whole episode to it and broke that down a little bit. It's something we get a lot of questions about in one-to-ones. So a little look at paraphrasing and just some advice from us on it. So we'll kick off probably with Mary, just about what paraphrasing means. When we talk about paraphrasing, what are we talking about?
So I think the most common way that people hear paraphrasing being talked about is that idea of putting something into your own words, right? Yeah. So taking a phrase, usually about maybe a couple of sentences from an original source, and putting it into different words, so words that you have written that you would use to characterize that statement. So what it's not is just changing the order of the words and using the same ones. And it's also quite different from summarizing. So I mentioned kind of a phrase, a sentence, two sentences. What we're really doing is we're taking the exact meaning or intention of that precise phrase and we're rephrasing it. Summarizing instead would be taking kind of a larger chunk of text and distilling it down to its essential ideas. Now, that's not to say that paraphrasing can't make things more concise, because it absolutely can, and that's one of the reasons to do it. But you're still trying to kind of communicate every key idea in the segment that you're taking across, essentially. What paraphrasing isn't is a way to get around referencing, okay? So whether you're directly quoting or paraphrasing or summarizing, in fact, you still need to reference the original idea, the person who came up with that, because you are not the one who came up with that idea. You're not the one thinking of that right now. You are just kind of transforming it into slightly different words. So I did note that one advantage is being a bit more concise sometimes. I think the main advantage of paraphrasing and the reason why students are usually asked to do it over directly quoting is that by paraphrasing, you actually tell the marker, not only do I have access to this information, but I also know what it means. So just by copying and pasting, you are showing your research skills. Okay, you're showing that you found a great source that is relevant, but there's no sense of proof that you understand what that means. Okay, so paraphrasing shows understanding while a direct quotation doesn't. A couple other advantages, I would say actually one of the main ones is flow of your arguments, because if you just pop in lots of direct quotations, it gets a bit choppy. It gets kind of like you're piecing lots of different ideas together. And then related to that, that's going to be kind of 8, 10, 20 different people's voices interrupting your assignment. If you're rewriting things, rephrasing things, that's all in your tone of voice. So it sounds a little bit more authentic, flows better, and does all the other things of showing your understanding as well.
Yeah, some really good points there, Mary. And
I was just going to say, I mean, I was just thinking then that you kind of also, when you're paraphrasing, you're rephrasing it to help you get your own message across in an assignment as well.
Yeah.
And that's the point you were making there about flow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're finding something from a textbook, you know, they're not working on, they're not doing the same assignment that you're doing. When you're using the information, you're helping that in the brief that you've been given as well.
So, yeah, you can more naturally tie it to that, can't you, instead of having to make an awkward link from a direct quote to then a claim.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. And that might be a good point to bring you in, John, about, you know, when you're speaking to students, how do you advise them to paraphrase? If a student says, I don't know, how do I actually do this? What's your kind of step-by-step guide to that?
Well, I think the point is that you're writing basically from your own words. You're writing from what's up here, and I'm putting at my brain at the moment, which I know isn't very big. But the steps to doing this, really, I think, are in the reading stage. And this is another reason we always emphasise reading first and writing later, so that when you're in that reading stage, you take notes of any good information that you find. And then when it actually comes to the typing up of the assignment later on, you have your notes with you and in note form, not copied sentences. But at that moment, when you work on that blank Word document, that's the time to close down all the tabs on your computer, close any books in front of you, and just start writing from what's up here. And then you will find there that you will not be using the language, the direct language from another source. You will be putting things automatically into your own language, because it will be impossible to remember exactly chunks of language from those original sources. So that's what I would always advise, just closing down all the other tabs on your computer and just using your hopefully good notes to remember the source information you find and doing things that way. And you will find that actually the work will flow much better as a result of that as well, because you will then be getting your message across.
Yeah, and it will sound more natural, as Mario said as well. It will have that flow about it, and because you've actually, and that is, as you said, John, it's that reading and thinking about that. Reading is the crucial bit, you know, because as often happens, if students are just so keen to start writing, that's when they are at a real danger of just more or less cutting and pasting what they see, because they've not actually taken time to sit and understand it and think, what does that mean and how can I apply that to this situation and all that kind of thing. Yeah.
I mean, it is difficult because you're expected to give references into the sources. That's why sometimes writing in an exam is easy, because you haven't got any, or a closed book exam anyway. You don't have access to the original sources, so you can just write. Here you are expected to give references to those sources, but it's using the kind of help support from your notes to do that, rather than the things that maybe you have open on your computer, then there's just a temptation to copy chunks of language. And we can sometimes see that as well. I think it's called patch writing, where students are attempting to paraphrase, but by just changing kind of one in every five words, for example. And that is not proper paraphrasing at all. That's essentially what we call patch writing, and or plagiarism.
And it's something that takes time to learn, but it's probably quite a good point to bring Carly in here about, you know, that often students are very tempted to say, well, can I not use some kind of tool to help me with paraphrasing? What would be your sort of guidance around that? We don't really want to get into maybe specific tools, but we are all aware that there are tools that will help you to paraphrase. Are they okay to use? If so, how should you use them? What's the kind of line on that?
Yeah, so, you know, as AI advances, there's definitely tools like that out there that are kind of intended to help paraphrase, just as there's tools that are intended to form references, but they aren't the most appropriate way to paraphrase. And you have to think about the purpose of paraphrasing in the first place before really using those, because the purpose is to put ideas again into your own tone, into your own style of writing, to integrate it into your writing and to contribute to the flow of your entire assessment. So if you have an AI tool create something for you, it's not going to sound like you. It's usually going to be very obvious that it's not you who's written that. And, you know, that sometimes if you were to take that and plop it into your own writing, it's going to make your writing sound even more fragmented than if you'd put a quote from the original academic literature that you're engaging with. So it feels like you're going in the opposite direction instead of practicing paraphrasing and exercising that muscle and that skill. So, you know, we'd advise really you honing in on the skill and doing it yourself to make it sound like your own tone, your own voice, and to increase your understanding of the topic altogether. That's why, as John was saying, taking notes and maybe paraphrasing a little bit throughout your notes is going to be a really helpful way to get better at this. And if you're wanting support with paraphrasing, perhaps rather than going to those tools, there's some tools that can be really helpful to give you some more direction when it comes to word choice and making sure that your paraphrases are appropriate in terms of academic writing. And that would be tools like Manchester Phrase Bank or our own UWS Academic Skills Phrase Bank, which give really good ideas of ways to introduce ideas into your own writing. So that might be a little bit more appropriate to use. And again, a good way to help you throughout your assessment as you're paraphrasing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's probably important to stress there that you have to take responsibility for your assignment. So if you used a paraphrasing tool and it didn't, you know, it might jar a little bit in when someone's reading it, but then if a lecturer says to you, can you explain that, and you can't, then you're in real trouble then, aren't you, John? That can be a real problem.
Well, I was just looking up the UWS academic integrity policy, so I can read word for word from that. But if you're not able to, you know, this is where you could get in trouble with the academic integrity panel. If you're not able to explain what it is you've written in an interview, for example, with somebody from the panel.
Carly.
I was going to say that with those tools that might generate, you know, a paraphrase for you, I think I mentioned that it could change the meaning of the original quote or bit of text that you're trying to paraphrase. So if it changes the meaning, then again, that could be something that catches you out as not answering the question and not being as relevant as maybe you initially hoped or intended. And if you don't understand the meaning of something that's generated for you, your reader, who is most likely your marker, is not going to suddenly understand that either. So think about when you're paraphrasing, think about how you would explain this to a friend. How would you break it down, make it more accessible? I always use the word accessible when I'm talking about paraphrasing, because sometimes these pieces of literature that we have to read, they maybe aren't the most accessible to people that aren't studying that field or haven't read about that specific topic before. So if you're paraphrasing for a presentation for peers in your course to while different topics, think about how you can make that topic accessible so that they can understand it, even though they haven't spent as much time as you probably have exploring that topic throughout the research. So think about that, make it simple, make it direct, make it clear, like we always talk about with academic writing, that applies to pararaphrasing as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think important to say finally that, you know, it takes time to master paraphrasing. You know, it's not something that necessarily comes naturally, and it takes a bit of time. But all those points about, you know, making sure that it's really your voice are really important. So I even say when I tell students to use Manchester Phrase Bank, if there's a phrase there or a sentence that you think I would never use that or I don't really know what that means, then don't use it. You know, they are suggestions. They're not compulsory. So, you know, just remember that lecturers are looking for that, your understanding of a topic and your interpretation of that literature, because that's where you're going to earn your marks.
And so, they like to see that naturalness as well of your voice coming through. So, you know, as long as you kind of adhere into some conventions of academic writing that obviously we've talked about a lot in other podcasts, and you know, it's great to hear, kind of, it doesn't have to be the most academic thing in the world. It doesn't need to replicate kind of the language of a journal article, for example.
That's true.
And also it can look a bit weird as well if you've got a reflective piece with that suddenly kind of seems completely different in tone and within the same assignment. So
good points. Yeah,
just have confidence in your own writing.
And a lot of academic skills is about confidence, isn't it? You know, and just trying to encourage that confidence. So if you think about paraphrasing, just about trying to show your confidence in what you're reading and sort of explaining that, that's, you know, maybe a good way to think about it. So, as we said, you know, can take a bit of time to master, but hopefully that's just given you some hints and some tips around paraphrasing. Remember, you can always book an appointment with an academic skills advisor to discuss paraphrasing in more detail. Thanks to John, to Carly and Mary for their input today, as always. And remember, you can book appointments through the UWS student app, or you can go through our website, And as always, you can email us if you've got any comments or any thoughts at skills@uws.ac.uk. Thanks for listening.